She has been so faithful down there for so long in an orphanage that she founded called Christopher's Hope Ministry. And she's been here with us before to share a little bit of that story. And she's going to share some of that today. We're going to look at some pictures that she has for us and then share kind of what the Lord is doing right now in the midst of that. So would you please give a nice warm welcome for my Aunt Jan.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Love you. Thank you much. Oh, it is so good to be here. And I am so excited. Here's everything falling out of my Bible. Okay, this is the real me. Okay, what he just said, it's not really. I am so excited to hear how much you devote to prayer. That's where it's at. That's what we all need to be doing more of. I want to introduce special friends. They are from Missouri. There's Richard and May Cooper. They are longtime friends with my mom and dad, and they have come to spend the weekend with the Brickley clan. So if you guys would stand up. They are originally from Lamar, Missouri, and they have, May has three daughters, Richard has two children, and then Ronnie is actually Dr. McKee from University of Central Missouri in Warrensburg. So we are really excited to have them. I always like to introduce my mom and dad. They're not here yet, so as soon as they come in, I will introduce my mom and dad. And oh, they did? Oh, there's my mom and dad. Okay, my mom and dad, I want them to stand up. I am so proud of my mom and dad. Love you. And you're early. This is early for you. In 2012, at the end of the year, missionaries met together in my city, and one of the questions they went around and asked everyone at the table was, how would you describe 2012? And I was very frustrated at that time, and I said, unfinished business. And we had not finished the 501c3 in the States. We had not finished the license for the orphanage. I therefore then could not register in Haiti my ministry and become an NGO. That would mean I got tax-exempt status on any shipments. And so I was very frustrated with that whole year of working on this stuff, and it still wasn't finished. And so I just kind of made a real sarcastic statement like, so 2013 is going to be great. We'll get all that finished. Well, guess what? It's still not finished. And so I've had to stop and ask God, what do you want me to learn from this? And so he has taken me this whole year to 1 Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and it says, he who began a good work in you will perfect it or will complete it. And so what I'm going to talk to you about today is, this is not my orphanage and my work. This is the work God started. And so if he's not finished with those little details of licensings and registerings, then it's okay, because he's got it all under control. It's his. And so my part is to pray, to hear from him, to find out what his plan is and what he wants to do in Go Naive Haiti, and then to be obedient and follow that, and then report it every chance I get. So the first picture you're going to see is the orphanage building. They were asking $300,000 for this, and I told the owner all I had was $110,000, and he laughed, and 2 weeks later we signed papers for $110,000. So we have a 9-bedroom home, 4 bathrooms, and 32 Hopesters. All the rooms are now filled. We have finished this house. Okay, you can go to the next one. These are my directors. Everyone I talk to in Haiti that's been there long term says these are one in a million. And so I am very thankful that we are able to partner. They are the directors. They live in the house. They brought 5 of their own natural born biological children. And now they love the other 27 just as much as they do their own 5. In fact, you can't see any difference. They have a church in a little community called Grand Rock, about 45 minutes outside of Go Naive, and they have been working in this church for 12 to 13 years. And one of the things God has shown me in this Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is he began a good work through their church 12 years ago when they began working. And so my orphanage is now just an outpouring of their ministry. It's just an offshoot from their church ministry. They have been struggling Very little funds, very little money. Their church didn't even have a bathroom. And so I have begun tithing into that church, and they now are digging a pit toilet, and they are so thrilled that they are getting a toilet for their church. But they began the work in Go Naive, or God began it through them in Grand Rock. That's where the majority of our children come from. 20% of our kids come through social services, but the rest of them come from Grand Rock in their area, so they can screen them and know, is this really legitimate? Is this really a deep need? Do they really need the help? Should we pull the child out? So they're my screeners because they've been there long term. Okay. This is the church in Grand Rock. And we went there one Sunday. It had been raining, and people were actually standing outside looking into the church, half naked, half clothed, just standing in that muddy area. And you see a little rock house over here to the left. One Sunday, about a month ago, that little church began having voodoo services going on at the same time the church was meeting and having their services for the Lord. And they began chanting and beating the drums and doing all of their voodoo rituals. And so the church just stopped and began praying. That Monday, we ended up hearing the report, and so we began very fervently praying for the church and praying that this would stop. And the whole staff and I walked around our orphanage as though we were walking around this church, and we were praying against the enemy, and we were praying against, and how dare he come into the presence of God and try and break up the service. And so we really prayed like Joshua 1:3, wherever we walk, we're going to pray that that's taken back for the Lord. And by Thursday, that little house had no occupants. They had left and said, this isn't a good place to have our services. We're going to be leaving. God has spoken that he's not finished with that little house yet. And so we continue to pray it doesn't stay in neutral territory. We are praying that it becomes a part of the church, and that they've even said that would make a great kitchen. Now, it's as small as it looks. So they were excited to get that little tiny house so that they could prepare meals. And so that's what we've been praying for, is it doesn't stay neutral, but that's symbolic, that it went from the enemy back into the hands of the Lord. This was the road driving into Grand Rock that morning, and the people were fascinated to see a car, and they were even more fascinated when I got that car stuck. So we ended up parking the cars here. The kids had gotten new clothes. These are the Hopesters, and a lot of them were going back to see their family, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. And so they were so excited, and they had just gotten new shoes from our shipment. They were buried in the mud the whole way. We walked 10 minutes in to the church, and so this was our beginning of that journey. This lady had the right idea. She didn't go that 10 minutes. She just cut right across the water. We've started a program. These are two of our children from Grand Rock, and this is their grandma. And so we've started a new thing where we actually pay for the families to get to come to the orphanage and visit the kids. So that's been a new thing that we've been doing, and that's been really good to reconnect the kids with their families. This one you can't see very well, but these are the boys in the cowboy room. And Marvin's is down, I think, on the bottom. And Marvin's is 15 years old. He's the leader. What? Oh. Did you see it dripping? Marvin's is on the bottom row. He's 15 years old, and he has AIDS. And so he was a very angry boy, and we were very concerned he couldn't stay in our orphanage, because the big fear in social services is when a young man is angry and has a really bad spirit of rebellion, they will purposefully inflict the other children with their AIDS. And so we had to watch him very close, but he now has asked Jesus into his heart, and he is a new creature in Christ. And when he was 12, he lived with some missionaries from the States that were in Go Naive, and he stole their motorcycle and went riding around the street with it, and then he was stealing things from the house and selling them out on the street. And so he knew he had done some things wrong, and I had never gone back and addressed that with him. He was still a baby Christian, a new believer. And so one day he came, he says, you know, Mom Jan, I did some really bad things before I knew Jesus, and I want you to help me write letters to all the people that I offended. And so he wrote about 4 apology letters. And then one night I went in his room, and he said, Mom Jan, I just want you to see this list. He said, these are all the kids that I feel really bad about because they act up really lots in the orphanage and they're real disobedient. And I remember I used to be that way, so I just wanted you to know these are the kids I'm praying for. And recently we had a lesson in our Bible club where we talked about Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. And we taught him that song. And then at the end I said, you know, sometimes we're just barely asking for alms from the Lord and he blows us away by what he gives us. I said, do you guys have a testimony like that? And it took him a while, but Marvin stood up and he says, you know, I was 6 when my mom died. And he goes, my dad was already dead. And so he goes, I prayed, God, will you please give me a new mom? And he said, God's given me 3. He goes, he gave me Mommy Mary that I used to live with, and now she's moved back to the States. And he said, and so now he's giving me Mommy Jan and Mommy Pastor. And so he says, God really answered my prayer really big. And so then the next picture you'll see is a young man named Aiden, and he's right in the middle. And during that same testimony time, he said, well, when I came to the orphanage, I was really angry. And to give you an idea how angry he was, all of the little boys were scared of him. And his dad had, or his mom died first, and so he went to look for his dad, and he found his dad. He walked up on the porch. He goes, Dad, can I come stay with you? And his dad looked at him and goes, if you ever come back on my porch again, I will hurt you bad. Shortly after that conversation with his dad died in a knife fight. So he came to us very angry, very, very mean-spirited, just glared at the kids. And so he says, you know, Mom Jan used to get on to me. I don't know Creole yet. And so I'm probably like that Neanderthal Creole speaker. And so he says, I used to always laugh at Mom Jan after she'd get on to me. And he said, but one day I decided I don't want to be angry anymore. And so he talked to our pastor, the director, and the pastor says, it's real simple. You just talk to God and you say, I'm really angry and I don't want to be that way anymore. And so he said in his testimony that day, I'm not angry anymore. And he goes, God changed me. And I want you to know that he has the most little boys in his room. And when they get hurt, they run and they climb on Aiden's lap. And he's always holding one in his arms or on his shoulders. He really has changed. He is a new creature. The little boy on the right is named Richardson, and he's another one of our older boys. This is his group of boys in his room he's in charge of. And when I was home last June, I got a report that he was leaving the orphanage because he had been a slave and had been beaten by the woman that was in charge of him or his taskmaster. And she was so angry at him that she burned his clothes in front of him while he watched. And while the clothes were burning, he ran away. And that's how he came to our orphanage. Social services brought him. So he was what they call in Haiti a restavek kid, where he was literally in that home to be their slave. And so he came to us, and you would think it would be enough just to say, oh, now we're just going to love you, and we're going to give you 3 meals a day, and we're going to give you a nice room, and we're going to love you and teach you about Jesus. But about 6 months after he came, he's like, you know, I am not staying here. I hate this place called social services. I'm out of here. And I was really grieved on my way back, and I really prayed. And so I sat down with him and my director and her husband, the pastor and his wife, and I got my list of people that they, you know, told me he had been rude to, and I again began looking at this list and praying, God, help me to know what to say to this young man. And I looked at the list, and all but one of them on that list were women. And so I looked at him, and I said, Richardson, do you remember your mama? Yeah. I said, tell me about your mama. Well, I loved her so much, and she was really happy, and she loved me. And I said, so when she died, I said, were you mad at her? Did you hate her? So we went one by one. He then went to live with an aunt. She beat him. She's the one that gave him to her friend in Go Naive. He had to leave his little brother with her. He had to come live with this taskmaster that was so cruel. And then he came to us. And so we went one by one by one, and we forgave all of those women that had hurt him. And then he sat at the feet of Mommy Pass, who he'd been so rude and so belligerent to. And I said, I want you to look up at her. because you are her child, and so you will always look up to her. And I said, I want you to know that she loves you so much. And I want you to ask her forgiveness, because this is a very humble position for you to be in right now. So we got a chance to pray together. He now is just totally set free. Now, for now. There may be more layers later, but for right now, he's a happy kid. It's like, thanks, I needed that. It is so awesome to see what God's doing. He that began a good work in them is going to be faithful to complete it. The girl up on the top right, this is one of our triple bunks, and so she's the pastor's middle daughter. And you know, girls are girls all over the world. And they got kind of angry at me one day, and they weren't going to cooperate during Bible club, and so they'd just do the bare minimums. They would clap, and they would sing. But I mean, when Haitians get into music, they get into music. And I mean, the boys were dancing and jumping and bouncing and just hooping and hollering and praising the Lord. And here were like six girls. So I'm trying to jump and get them excited. Come on, come on, come on. And weren't going to break. So I finally talked to their mama. I said, you know, I think there's a problem. Let's pray about this. One day we had a time in our Bible club, and I was so grieved because I could sense that spirit of rebellion in our Bible club. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. So one day we had a lesson on repentance. And I said, you know what? I just feel like we just need to be clean before the Lord. And so if you've done anything that you want to go ask somebody in the orphanage forgiveness for, I just want you to do it. And I waited, and I waited, and I'm, you know, inside my head going, oh, Jan, these are children. For heaven's sakes, they can't do these kind of things. And that little girl whispered to the little boy next to her something that she was sorry for, and it started the whole process. And before that time was over, it probably went 20 minutes long, and the girls all went to one of the girls and apologized, and she's a tough one to deal with. She's a tough little girl to love. And almost every girl in the orphanage went to her and said, I'm sorry. And then that little girl walked over to me, and she said, Mommy Jan, I am so sorry I haven't cooperated with you. Will you forgive me? And because she was a leader, because she repented, and because she was humble before the Lord, all of her little groupies came and apologized, and Bible Club has been restored to that joyful celebration to our King. These are the live wires of our orphanage. They are the repeat offenders. You tell them stop, and they go right back to it. You say, no, 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 I said stop. They go right back to it. You know, it's just like, okay, it's a whole new moment. And so I knew they were lost at school. I knew they were slipping through the cracks. There's 70-some children in the school we take them to. And so I prayerfully considered bringing them to where they had more one-on-one. And so these are the seven that we have at my house now. Well, there's six there, but we've added one more. And so these are the ones that we bring in, and they are just one-on-one with that teacher the whole, okay, stand up, sit down, stand up, recite, and follow me. And they're learning. They are learning some English, too. It's pretty amazing. This is Christopher that our ministry is named after, and Emmanuel. These are our two deaf children, and so they have school in the back of my house also. We built a big house back there to house teams, and now we're turning it into classrooms. And so one day, the little seven downstairs were reciting this Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and they were like really loud, shrill voices, and I'm going, oh, gosh, that is so loud. It's probably bothering the, no, they're deaf. It's a great combination. They can't hear anything. So we have a great teacher. I call him Annie Sullivan because I had been praying for little Emmanuel to have somebody come in and teach him sign language and just bring him alive as far as communication. He was a very frustrated little boy. And one day they were walking out of the classroom, and I said, oh, are you finished? The teacher is deaf also, so I said, you know, Ufini? And no, they weren't finished. He was going to go around and show him all of the plants and the trees and the doors and the house and all the things and teach him sign language. I went, wow, that's just like Annie Sullivan did to Helen Keller. And so Rossini, the teacher, also writes in English. Is God not amazing? So he and I communicate through writing on paper in English. This is Christopher's family, and we still get them together and celebrate birthdays. His mom still works for me. I get to see Christopher every morning. He has lunch and breakfast and lunch with me. And so the little girl there with the red cup in front of her, she's the second one from the left. Her name is Dineed. And Christopher's mom came to me about 4 months ago and said, Mommy Jan, there's a little girl on my mountain whose new stepdad doesn't want her, and he calls her ugly. And when I ask about Dineed, he goes, who? I don't know anybody by that name. And so he is very cruel to her. He's very evil-minded, and he won't let her in the house, and he won't let her eat, and he doesn't let her sleep there. And so she's been hanging out at Christopher's family. And she says, can you bring her to the orphanage? I said, no, we can't bring any more children. We are full. And so I said, but she's already at your house? Yeah. I said, you're already feeding her? Yeah. I said, then if I give you a little bit extra money for school and clothes and food, could you continue to have her there? Yeah. So that's what we did. So now it's ministry on top of ministry. And so little Dineed got to come to my house and have cake and birthday party and ride in my car and watch TV, and her eyes were just like this the whole time. So she lives with Christopher's family now, and we have her in school, and she's just as happy as could be. This is my last picture. This is number 32. Her name is Love Mika, and this is her little brother. And so in Haiti, families, you never know if they knew each other or not. One may have been raised by somebody and the other one raised by somebody else. But we went to pick her up 2 days before I came home this time. So it was about 10 days ago. We went and picked her up. We had prayed for her for probably 2 months. Her father and mother both were dead. The little boy had come to our orphanage, but the aunt said, oh, no, no. I am hearing from my dead brother that he does not want this little girl in that orphanage. And so we began praying because we knew she was being beaten. We knew she wasn't in school. We knew that the aunt wasn't even letting her live in her house at night. She was taking her and making her live with an older lady. They lived in mud huts. And so we began praying and praying and praying. And 2 days before I left, we got the call that the uncle said, it's time to go pick her up. And so I will meet you, and we will go pick her up. And so we did. And she came to the orphanage in tears, that even though it may be dysfunctional, it was still a connection for her, a bonding for her. And so she came in tears, but when she saw her little brother, they have been inseparable. So yes, they do remember each other, and she's a big mama now. And so one day in prayer time, she'd only been there a day, she looked over at him to close his eyes. You know, she's giving him a dirty look, and then she proceeded to just look around the room. And I thought, isn't that a typical big sister, you know? My staff, right before I left, were so excited, and they were just, you know, and they were trying to speak to me, and I got most of what they were saying, but I couldn't figure it all out, and their words to me were, Mommy Jan, isn't it so great? We prayed for her, and she came before you went back to America. And so we were celebrating that, and know that we still have a lot of prayer for her. She's been beaten. She's been abandoned. God spoke to me that the prayers we said before she came were only the beginning, and she will be a difficult little girl. So I know when I come here, I always stop and ask myself, what's my purpose in speaking other than being obedient? And I guess my purpose today would be that you intercede on our behalf. And we need intercessors. We need people to pray for us. I get the joy of kissing 32 hopesters before I go to bed at night. And they need prayer. The enemy doesn't like that we have rescued them, and we are teaching them not just the truth in Scripture and in Word, but we're teaching them how to live it, how to peel those layers, and how to be set free. And so there's lots of spiritual warfare. And so that's what I would ask from you today.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to pray for you now. If Jonathan and any family members or people might feel led, come up here and let's stand around Jan and pray for her and the mission there. We're so appreciative of what you're doing. Any elder guys that might be free and could come up, or wives, we want to just pray over you and invest in what's going on. We also would like to, as a ministry, just give you a Christmas card. And I just want to thank everybody for their partnership with the ministry and all that we're doing. And we just want to invest $5,000 into what you're doing down there. And pray, may the Lord bless you. The scriptures say, he who oppresses the poor neglects the maker. But he who honors the poor honors the maker. And you're doing the front line real stuff. And we love you.
Thank you.
We love what you're doing. And it's our privilege and honor to invest in that. So why don't you, let's gather around Jan here. All right. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your heart for a planet that's in poverty of spirit, that you gave the greatest gift, the most expensive gift you gave, your indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Son and for the gospel. And we thank you that the gospel has impacted the generations and impacted the Brickley family and Jan. And we just thank you for the deposit that's in Jan. We thank you for the deposit of grace. We thank you that she's a recipient of your mercy, and now she's extending out your mercy into the nations. We thank you that you marked her and chose her and have equipped her. And Lord, you have given grace and talents, and you've given grace where there's weakness. And we praise you that you perfect your power in the midst of our weakness. And thank you for a surrendered, willing heart. We pray now for a fresh filling with the Holy Spirit. We pray now for, Lord, a fresh recommissioning and energy and endurance to day by day, hour by hour, to step in the middle of what she's in the middle of, to bring the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus to a broken nation. Lord, thank you for the children there. Bless them. Woo their hearts. Let them become disciples that shift their nation. We pray for more grace, more provision for housing those that would come in the future, and you know who those are. Lord, we pray for protection from every wile of the enemy, every fiery dart that would bring division in the team or would bring discouragement anyway. Thank you for your protection, and greater is he that's in them than he that's in the world. I thank you for Jan's commitment to prayer. It's so obvious. I'm asking now for a fresh grace on her prayer life. I'm asking for a fresh, in her personal life, her treasuring of you alone in presence, and also for her prayer life for an intercession ministry. Lord, bless that. And Lord, thank you. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in Haiti as it is in heaven. And we commit our sister to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you and thank you for your extended investment. You're down there. We're down there. So blessings. Yeah.